Here we are again, another week for our study group. Welcome, everybody. And let's start, as we usually do, with just taking a few moments to pause and to turn within. So allowing your eyes to close if you'd like, and bringing your attention within your own heart and mind. If it helps to connect with a feeling of love in your heart, letting that be your anchor point. And connecting with a willingness, with a feeling of willingness or a thought of willingness. Willingness to learn. Willingness to be taught. Willingness to give everything over to the Holy Spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we will follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And just allowing your eyes to gently open, coming together to this moment in our perceived, our shared perception of time and space. I am so grateful you all are here. Welcome. I will read the paid references for tonight. So if you have the CE, the Complete and Annotated Edition by A Course in Miracles, by, I keep messing up my words, the Complete and Annotated Edition by Circle of Atonement, if you have this edition, the purple book, we are on page 737, part 5. It's called The Christ in You. That corresponds to the, I'm going to read the sparkle next. I'm sorry, my books are all out of order. Usually I have them in a particular order, and apparently it's confusing me because I have them out of order. If you have the sparkle edition, we're on page 564, and the subheading is The Resolution of the Dream. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, that's chapter 24, part 6, also called The Resolution of the Dream. And last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 24, part 5, called The Christ in You. Now, I have a footnote here in the CE, which is pretty cool. It says that this section, The Christ in You, can be considered the beginning of consistent iambic pentameter in the Course. It says in parentheses, though at this point it is still somewhat rough and imperfect. Iambic pentameter is a form of poetic verse in which each line consists of 10 syllables with the accent on every second syllable. Beautiful. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I also want to begin with reading a quote from Robert Perry. So I'm a member of Course Companions, which is the membership site for the Circle of Atonement where they take you through chapter, actually section by section. And I opened up to this section, and I just had to read the first line because I thought it was pretty funny. It says, this poetic section, whose imagery swings from the sublimely beautiful to the grotesque and macabre, depicts two ways of walking through this world. In one, we walk through the world holding the hand of our specialness, letting it be our guide. And then the other way, obviously, is through walking with Christ. So you'll see that language in this section, beautiful language and then that macabre, grotesque language. So here we go. The Christ in you is very still. He looks on what he loves and knows it as himself. And thus does he rejoice at what he sees, because he knows that it is one with him and with his Father. Specialness, too, takes joy in what it sees, although it is not true. Yet what you seek for is a source of joy as you conceive it. What you wish is true for you. Nor is it possible that you can wish for something and lack faith that it is so. Wishing makes real, as surely as does will create. The power of a wish upholds illusions as strongly as does love extend itself, except that one deludes, the other yields. So I'm taking a pause, as usual, and I'll just say a few things and see what's coming up for anyone else on the call. I just love this first sentence, the Christ in you is very still. This sentence will repeat again later, but it's just a powerful reminder to me that the busyness of the world, we're not going to find, you know, we tune in to the Christ within, the true self within, through stillness, through getting quiet. It goes on to say, he looks on what he loves and knows it as himself. So again, there's this idea of you know, seeing with the Holy Spirit's vision and seeing and joining with the truth in others, and that being part of truth, of himself. That contrast then, when it switches into talking about specialness, specialness too takes joy in what it sees, although it is not true. Yet what you seek for is a source of joy as you conceive it. What you wish is true for you. So this is pretty interesting that it says that wishing makes real as surely as does will create. So the power of wishing things be however, which let's say, you know, wishing things be other than the truth, this upholds illusions as strongly as does love extend itself, except one deludes. Obviously, illusions delude, the other heals, love heals. So that's the power of our minds, to be able to deny the truth and use wishful thinking instead to create a whole dream of separation that seems like a very, very real world. And I'm going to pause there. Thoughts, questions, comments, what's coming up for you? Anything so far? I can keep reading. There is no dream of specialness, however hidden or disguised its form, however lovely it may seem to be, however much it delicately offers the hope of peace and the escape from pain, in which you suffer not your condemnation. In dreams, effect and cause are interchanged, for here the maker of the dream believes that what he made is happening to him. He does not realize he picked up a thread from here, a scrap from there, and wove a picture out of nothing. For the parts do not belong together, and the whole contributes nothing to the parts to give them meaning. So this is kind of startling. The way this paragraph opens up, there's no dream of specialness in which you suffer not your condemnation, however hidden or disguised its form may be. So whatever the specialness is, be it, you know, again, having the right job that makes you special or the right relationship that makes you special or whatever it is that makes you special, there's no form of it in which you don't suffer your condemnation, even if you don't realize it, even if it seems like something's temporarily making you happy. What is it doing but just reinforcing the belief in a separate identity? And anything that reinforces that belief in a separate identity is actually condemning ourselves from waking up to the truth, from really, truly knowing love. So that's pretty powerful. That's striking to me. And then it goes on to say this idea about effect and cause being interchanged. the maker of the dream believes, so we're believing that what we made is happening to us. We believe that it seems like this world out there is just happening to us. We totally have forgotten that we had anything to do with it. It says it doesn't realize we picked up a thread from here, a scrap from there, and wove a picture out of nothing. That reminds me of this quote that I'm always reciting, that the secret of salvation is that this, you are doing this unto yourself. We don't realize that, though. We've totally forgotten that. Questions or comments so far?
I always make a joke to myself that I'm like, how that you're doing this to yourself, tattoo. It's so easy to forget that.
That we're doing it to ourselves?
Yes.
Yeah, right? It really is. It totally is. I actually, it's funny that you say that, Deidre, because just before, earlier, I was feeling, I decided to get a jump start on some work that needs to get done for this week, and I started feeling stressed just because it's a lot. And I know I did a couple of other things, and something else bothered me as well that felt stressful. And I promptly forgot the other things that sort of added to the stress. Like I was like, what was it that I thought of that I, you know, that just totally stressed me out? Anyway, this idea of doing this to ourselves, I just went back to that page 90 in FIP prayer. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. And that makes all the difference. Like I was just like, okay, I'm willing to start over. You know, I'm willing to have a shift here. And I definitely felt a shift come in just by reciting those words. I'm going to ask, Deidre, would you mind taking over and just reading the next paragraph? My husband is signaling to me, I think I have something I have to take care of really quick. Would you be willing to do that for paragraph number 3?
I was just actually listening, but I can see what I can do.
If you don't have it. Okay. Don't worry about it. I'm going to let him. I'm sure everything is fine.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Or insights so far? Okay, let's do paragraph number 3. Where could your peace arise but from forgiveness? The Christ in you looks only on the truth and sees no condemnation that could need forgiveness. He is at peace because he sees no sin. I'm going to say that again. He is at peace because he sees no sin. Identify with him, and what has he that you have not? He is your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. How gentle are the sights he sees, the sounds he hears. How beautiful his hand that holds his brother's, and how lovingly he walks beside him, showing him what can be seen and heard, and where he will see nothing, and there is no sound to hear. I love this paragraph. So the Christ in you looks only on the truth and sees no condemnation that could need forgiveness. He is at peace because he sees no sin. So our task is to identify with him. And what has he that you have not? He is your eyes, your ears. I love this part. So imagine rather than keeping, you know, your fixed grip on your perceptions, what you see, what you feel, your hands, your feet, imagine allowing Jesus, the truth in us, to become our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, and allowing his sight to be our sight, the sounds he hears to be what we hear. So it's almost like rather than tuning in to the conflict of the world, the war of the world, I just said war of the world, so that's a movie, war of the world, rather than tuning into that quote-unquote song, which is obviously not a song, there's something deeper that we can turn into that's beneath the picture beneath the, you know, the images, the forms that we can tune into and join with underneath. I love this paragraph.
Yeah, those words are really beautiful to listen to and to read. The gentleness and the beauty. I love those words.
I love that too. I love that too. It's so beautiful. Let's read the next paragraph too. So keeping this in mind, that this is what we want. We want this identification with him. We want to give our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet over to him. Any part of us that feels resistance or unwillingness, we just have to be willing to look at, because all that part is the part that wants to maintain, you know, this sense of separate self. So let's keep that in mind as we keep reading. Because here's going to come our macabre and grotesque language. Let your specialness direct his way, and you will follow. And both will walk in danger. So again, now we're following specialness. Yet let your specialness direct his way, and you will follow. And both will walk in danger, each intent, in the dark forest of the sightless, unlit but by the shifting, tiny gleams that spark an instant from the fireflies of sin, and then go out to lead the other to a nameless precipice and hurl him over it. For what can specialness delight in but to kill? What does it seek for but the sight of death? Where does it lead but to destruction? Yet think not that it looked upon your brother first, or hated him before it hated you. The sin its eyes behold in him and love to look upon, it saw in you, and looks on still with joy. Okay. By the way, the sentence that we just read, yet think not that it looked upon your brother first, or hated him before it hated you. There's a footnote down here, and it's a Bible reference again, and Robert Perry wrote, in this verse, the world hated Jesus before it hated us. That's the Bible quote. The above allusion in the Course reverses that. So in other words, what we just read is saying, your specialness did not hate your brother before it hated you. You were the first object of its hate. Meaning, our specialness, so this idea of the ego hated the true self. It hated who we really are and wanted to push that out of our awareness. So that's what my footnote references for that second to last sentence. So anyway, here, this is saying that, you know, once you start following specialness, which again, we all have in our minds, it's part of what comes with, you know, this belief in being this separate self. When that directs our way, we're in a dark forest of the sightless, and we're seeing fireflies of sin that you know, light up for a moment and then go out. This one sentence, to lead the other to a nameless precipice and hurl him over it, for what can specialness delight in but to kill? In the study guide, when I was reading that quote from Robert Perry in the very beginning of our call about the grotesque and macabre language in this section, he was just commenting on this and how, you know, specialness seeks to make ourselves feel better than others, and in a sense, on the deepest, darkest, you know, level of the ego seeks to kill and to have others out of the picture so we can feel better. But what we don't realize is that punishment or hurting of another only hurts ourselves. That's the chains that we don't see, that trying to push away a brother, not even to the extreme of, you know, killing, like this is talking about here, but pushing away another is actually keeping the light away from our awareness, because that lamp is lit in both of us. Questions or comments so far? I know that's kind of a heavy paragraph. Anything coming up for anyone, even if it's not related to this very paragraph?
I think I experienced that this week. In the sense of, here's this woman I know who, I don't know, we were a little, we were kind of good friends for a while or something, and then she started getting what I thought was weird, I guess, and then I kind of really started resenting her, and I don't know, and then she contacted me, and I was kind of like a little cool and stuff. And then it's funny because I kept thinking of her and then something else came up with her. And it was just, like, really bothering me, you know? And I was, like, I was actually trying to decide whether I should block her on my phone or something because it was really stupid. I was like, I don't want to talk. I don't want her to, you know, disturb me anymore. And then I realized, like, what that just said was kind of like the whole thing I was going through.
Wow.
You know, like,
it's amazing to see it, right? To see, like,
yeah,
to see when the course puts words, like, and I mean, I can totally, completely relate to your story. This is Nancy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I mean, who of us has not felt bothered by somebody in some way and wanting to, like, get them out, push them away, right? We've all been in experiences like that, and that's a form of what this is talking about, for sure. This idea of keeping them away will preserve our self in some way. If we can, you know,
right,
if they suck in some way, it makes us feel better. And but what we don't see is that, you know, that our salvation is actually in that other person through seeing the truth in them. So thank you so much for saying that, because I feel like that gives a very nice practical example to what this is talking about.
No, that's okay, because when I was talking to this other friend about it, she was like, oh, you're a nice person. Don't block her, for God's sake. She's, you know, she's younger, and she probably just doesn't understand what she's doing, and da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, okay, uh-huh. But, but yeah. I was like, okay, I'll do that. Sure, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I'll do that. So, but it, and I really like that whole thing about, you know, I mean, they say that, like, in a, you know, traditional religion, that Christ is part of you, but you don't think of it. And so it's like the way that it's being said is like, if instead of getting into your ego and your specialness, if you can stop and think, well, you know, kind of like, what would Jesus do, you know?
Right, yeah, absolutely. It's that really, like, really putting it into action part that I think a lot of, I don't know about a lot of people, but it seems like a good chunk of people, and including myself at times, you know, don't do. It's like we know it in our heads, but we don't put it into practice.
Yeah, it's kind of like forgiveness. It's really, that's what I feel like. It's really nice with forgiveness. You say, oh, yeah, sure, I forgive people. It's no problem, you know? And then they really give somebody. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Yep. So true.
Anyway.
So true. Thank you for that, Nancy. That was really helpful.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You know, the real freedom comes when these situations arise. And if we just ignore and, you know, if we don't go deeper, it just sort of stays and punishes. But really going deeper, really asking the Holy Spirit, or even like writing a Dear God letter to show me, what is this really about? The bottom line always is about freedom. Nobody, nothing can hurt us.
Yes. Amen to that. And I love how you just said that, Paula, that if we don't go deeper, it just stays and it festers. And that's so true. And that's the ego's goal, is to keep it staying in place and festering so it can keep going on unquestioned.
I had a situation, I wouldn't even begin to go into it, but I really, really did take the time, and I really sat down and wrote it out and asked God for help, and that bottom line, I wrote out the word freedom across the whole page, because that I imprison myself with this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
yeah.
have to do it. And personally,
no,
what you
don't.
Said earlier, page 90 really is, it's the best.
It really is. It is the perfect, perfect reset button
it
every
is.
Time. And Polly will forever be like the voice in my head, page 90, because everybody, I think everybody knows this at this point, but Paula and I and Carol, we were all, my mom and stepdad were the facilitators of our in-person study group, and that page 90 was something we'd always get very excited about. anybody else? Anything to add?
This is Steve, and I came late, but I heard you saying going deeper. And I love that because I for a while there, I was just going outside into the course in reading intellectually. But now I'm being driven to, like, take it inside, spend some mm-hmm. time, be quiet, go and listen to the voice within.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Otherwise, it's just another idol.
Yeah,
right,
the,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, totally.
Well,
totally,
he says,
totally.
I mean, he's, this whole thing started out with the voice for God. The Christ in you is very still. You can't hear his voice when you're in chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only way to really get clarity is to just stop it. Just
yeah.
Quiet down.
Challenging. isn't there a section at the end of the book, at the epilogue, where it says, now put it down and you will be guided. Listen within. I think at
right.
the epilogue. Yeah.
Yeah, and something, yeah, I'm not thinking of the exact quote, but it does say something to that effect that,
oh.
You know, your lessons are going to now show up in your day. You'll be guided.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'll just add to, thank you, Stephen, for saying what you shared, because it also has been striking me with this idea of going deeper, too. And I think I brought this up recently about how, you know, this course isn't just about doing it solo in our heads, just like this section that we just read, and we'll keep reading because this theme is going to continue. It's about our brother, that remembrance of truth we find through our brothers, not by pushing them to the side or making them go away or, you know, dismissing them or belittling them, that literally we go deeper through our brothers. And that has just been striking me more recently than ever before.
I was actually chuckling, Corinne, when you read the part about the fireflies and that image, because
go on.
It made me think about how we're interconnected. So if I guess this is just how my sense of humor works, but if we're seeing sin, and sin is lit up like a firefly, right? And we're seeing sin in one another, then we're all glowing because we're seeing that fire lit up. We're seeing the sin, right? But what we don't realize is the interconnectedness, because there is no separation. So when you're having an argument or a situation in your life where, and we all have them, where you want to be right. There's the burning desire and that just you want to be right. What you don't realize is everyone's throwing each other off the side of the cliff, and I just see like the Looney Tunes, and you're like going, and you're falling down the cliff, and I don't know, it's just my sense of humor, but it just makes me laugh. Because we don't even realize we're doing it, and there's this skit that Bob Newhart did like years ago, and he's playing a therapist, and this client comes in, and his answer the whole, all the way through the skit is just, stop it. Stop it. Like, stop it. Stop, like, stop punishing yourself. Stop throwing yourself over the cliff. Stop it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is giving us the roadmap to do. And so it just makes everything, like, really simple. And it's okay to laugh at it.
Yeah. And I love, Deidre, I love that you're laughing and picking up on the humor, because this, I mean, that, it almost seems like when you're reading this that suddenly it comes out of the blue, but, like, to lead the other to a nameless precipice and hurl him over it, like, that is crazy. Like, that is insane. And I, again, feel like Jesus' sense of humor comes through the course all throughout it, and you're referencing Looney Tunes, like, that's perfect, because this is insane. It's completely insane for us to think that we can, you know, condemn and judge and, like, reject another, whether it's through our thoughts or physically, and think that, you know, that doesn't affect us somehow. Like, that's completely insane, and we don't see that by, you know, pushing that other one off, that we're, like, you know, joined with them, and so we go hurling off of it as well. So thank you for adding that. I love the Looney Tunes reference. It's always nice to lighten the, you know, to lighten it up by thinking of it as Looney Tunes.
Well, I think it just helps that it's all okay. Like, there's nothing that we need to like. God isn't here to punish us. If we remember to laugh at these crazy ideas, it just makes it easier to cope with.
It does.
Yeah.
I agree. For sure.
Stop it.
Thank you. Anybody? Oh, go on.
I just was like, everybody should Google stop it. After the
yeah,
call,
yeah.
On YouTube, and it's really funny.
Deidre, I remember that episode. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. I'll definitely check it out. Cool. Thank you for that, Deidre.
No problem.
Oh, okay. Ready for some more macabre language? Let's do it. Where did I go? Okay, I think I'm on paragraph number 5 in the CE. By the way, there are paragraph breaks that are different, so I'm going to pause at the end of my paragraph, and it's probably going to be mid-paragraph if you're reading in a different edition, but it'll pick up again. Yet, is it joy? Is it joy to look upon decay and madness and believe this crumbling thing with flesh already loosened from the bone and sightless holes for eyes, is like yourself. Rejoice. Rejoice, you have no eyes with which to see, no ears to listen, and no hands to hold, nor feet to guide. Be glad that only Christ can lend you his while you have need of them. They are illusions too, as much as yours. And yet, because they serve a different purpose, the strength their purpose holds is given them. And what they see and hear and hold and lead is given light, that you may lead as you were led.
Wow.
Wow is right. Like, I mean, does that make the body sound appealing? Like, no. And, yeah, not at all. And it's saying to be happy that we don't know anything. Be happy, happy, happy that we have no idea, because we have the Christ in us, can lend you his while we have need of them. And we should be so happy over that, you know, I know nothing. And I can't, it's not what my body's eyes see, that's the truth. And thank God, because, you know, there have been, I may have referenced this last year. This is around a time of year when a very small sect of a religious group sacrifices chickens. And you know all how much I love my chickens. And it's very, 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 very hard for me to just think about it because the chickens are not treated well and they're thrown in garbage bags when they're still alive. Like, it's awful. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. And thank God that my eyes and my ears and my hands, thank God they deceive and that I can give, you know, repurpose everything that I think I see, every painful picture of the world, no matter how painful it is, we can say, let the Christ in me guide me. Let the Christ in me see for me. The Christ in us will see straight past the pain and join with the truth in the other to awaken the other for them to know that they are not a body, that nothing here can destroy truth and nothing here can destroy life. And that is why we should be happy. Oh.
Amen.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Yes, it really is. It really, really, like, thank God I needed to read this tonight.
You know, when you started reading, you know, when you started off, it was like, ah, yeah, but this is so difficult. How are we supposed to do this? And he goes right on to tell you how to do it.
Right.
Really, I think I'm going to have this tattooed. I'm going to have, you know, people write all over their body anymore, so it won't even look that strange.
Right. That's true.
These two paragraphs are just incredible.
Mm-hmm. They are. They are, they are, they are. And I'm glad that we can see that, too, and not get turned off by the, you know, the caber language, because it's funny. Like, it's, you know, like, oh. Do we really, 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 you know, I go back to thinking about, like, how Peace Pilgrim used to call this a clay garment. And, yeah, this is not who we are.
Hey, family.
Hey, Carla.
Hi there.
Hi,
how
are
you?
Good. Nice to hear you.
Thank you. I popped in. There's so much exuberance going on. I hear such wonderful, familiar voices. I love it. So now where are you all reading from? Because I'd like to take a look at it.
Which
edition? Where are you? I have the purple book and the original edition,
okay.
So I mean, I could find it. Which book are you reading from, though?
Oh, I'm reading from the purple book. So go to page 738, and we just finished paragraph 5.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep, paragraph 5.
Good.
All right, I'm going to have to go Kindle and get that. All right.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So we're going to start reading paragraph 6 now. Alrighty. Paragraph 6. So we've heard the sentence before. This is what we open this section with. The Christ in you is very still. He knows where you are going, and he leads you there in gentleness and blessing all the way. His love for God replaces all the fear you thought you saw in you. His holiness shows you himself in him whose hand you hold and whom you lead to him. That's our brother's hand that we hold. I'm going to read that sentence again. His holiness shows you himself in him whose hand you hold and whom you lead to him. And what you see is like yourself. For what but Christ is there to see and hear and love and follow home? He looked upon you first, but he recognized that you were not complete. And so he sought for your completion in each living thing that he beholds and loves and seeks it still, that each might offer you the love of God. So again, the Christ in you is very still, and he knows where we are going, and he leads us there the whole way. His love for God replaces every fearful thought that we have by our willingness, you know, to turn those thoughts over, to not hang on to those thoughts. And I love that sentence that I emphasized, just that his holiness shows you see the face of Christ in all of your brothers, and we go home together. Here's, again, this interpersonal nature of the Course. So And so it goes to say, too, that, you know, he looked upon you first but recognized that you were not complete, meaning, of course, we are complete in truth, but we don't believe that we are complete here. And so he sought for your completion in each living thing that he beholds in love, meaning that that lamp is lit in your brother for the both of us. We go home together. I'll read the next paragraph as well. Yet is he quiet, for he knows that love is in you now and safely held in you by that same hand that holds your brother's hand in yours. I want to read that sentence again. Yet is he quiet, for he knows that love is in you now and safely held in you by that same hand that holds your brother's hand in yours. Christ's hand holds all his brothers in himself. He gives them vision for their sightless eyes and sings to them of heaven, that their ears may hear no more the sounds of battle and of death. He reaches through them, holding out his hand, that everyone may bless all living things and see their holiness. And he rejoices that these sights are yours to look upon with him and share his joy. His perfect lack of specialness he offers you, that you may save all living things from death, receiving from each one the gift of life that your forgiveness offered to yourself. That makes me cry. Isn't that beautiful? I want to read that last sentence again. His perfect lack of specialness he offers you, that you may save all living things from death, receiving from each one the gift of life that your forgiveness offered to yourself. Wow, what a holy purpose to save all living things from death through our forgiveness, through remembering ourselves, through being willing to see with the Holy Spirit's vision. Is that divine or what? Any questions or comments coming up for anybody?
Last week or whatever, you were talking about how tightly we hold on to the concept of being right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that and the concept of forgiveness. When you hold on to being right, this is a protective shield because you will not share your love with that other person until they acknowledge something. And thus you are allowing their acknowledgement to control your love.
Mm. Wow, that's powerful, Alan.
That sounds familiar.
Sounds
doesn't
familiar.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Oh, I love how you said that. I love it. It is true. Our specialness is like a shield. Our lack of forgiveness is like a shield.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, yep. Wow. Thank you for adding that. That was really, really powerful. Oh, anyone else want to add anything before we keep reading? We have two paragraphs left in this section. At least according to my paragraph breaks. I'm assuming at this point that our paragraphs have... Oh, nope, they haven't synced up yet, but they will. Okay, so some of you I ended mid-paragraph, so I'm going to keep reading. The sight of Christ is all there is to see. The song of Christ is all there is to hear. The hand of Christ is all there is to hold. There is no journey but to walk with him. You who would be content with specialness and seek salvation in a war with love, consider this. The Holy Lord of Heaven has himself come down to you to offer you your own completion. What is his is yours, because in your completion is his own. He who willed not to be without his son could never will that you be brotherless. There's our brother again. And would he give a brother unto you, except he be as perfect as yourself, and just as like to him in holiness as you must be? This, again, such beautiful words in this paragraph. In iambic pentameter, as we read before, the sight of Christ is all there is to see. The song of Christ is all there is to hear. The hand of Christ is all there is to hold. There is no journey but to walk with him. This is our purpose. This is why we are here on this planet, is to heal, is to wake up, is to remember the truth, to walk with him. And we can't, of ourselves, have the sight of Christ or hear the song of Christ or, you know, use the hands of Christ. We can't do that of ourselves. This is where we're literally saying, okay, you know, take everything. Holy Spirit, take it all and show me, guide me, lead me, see for me, hear for me. And that's literally, we start to follow a different path. We start to journey home with him, with, I mean, the Holy Spirit is always there, but our awareness of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we're never alone, that awareness returns to us.
It kind of seems to me that that's why we really need do nothing.
Because?
You know, just because the sight of Christ is all there is to see, the song of Christ is all there is to hear. The hand of Christ is all there is to hold. There's no journey but to walk with him. So we really need do nothing. The ego
we
is
need
constantly
do nothing except
pounding
get out of the way.
That you need to do something.
Yes.
Oh,
you didn't do it
right. You need to do that better. No, you need to talk to that person. You know, you need. And it just drives you crazy.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying, no, you don't need to do any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We can literally rest.
Just relax.
Yeah.
You're free.
Yep. Oh. Amen. Oh, how beautiful. Anybody else have anything to add or share? I'm excited. We're going to complete this section tonight. Okay, we're going to read the last paragraph. There must be doubt before there can be conflict. And every doubt must be about yourself. Christ has no doubt, and from his certainty, his quiet comes. He will exchange his certainty for all your doubts if you agree that he is one with you, and that this oneness is forever endless, timeless, and within your grasp, because your hands are his. He is within you, yet he walks beside you and before, leading the way that he must go to find himself complete. His quietness becomes your certainty. And where is doubt when certainty has come? Amen.
God, this is really something.
Isn't it? It's gorgeous.
These two pages
it's absolutely
are
beautiful.
Oh my God.
It is absolutely
beautiful.
So, you know, what's that?
I read the footnote too. And the footnote
The footnote is interesting. So this footnote, number 25, I'm just trying to see where it it appears it's actually the third to last sentence. Mm-hmm. He walks beside you and before, leading the way that he must go to find himself complete. So he walks beside you and before, and then it has this footnote number 25. Robert Perry says, this may be an allusion to St. Patrick's breastplate, an incantation for protection on a journey, traditionally attributed to the 5th century St. Patrick, patron saint of Ireland. The translation of its lyrics includes this line, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me.
Ooh,
I love that.
Good news right there. Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Beautiful. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that's why I love these footnotes, because I would never know. I mean, I think most people would have no idea that that is a reference, that, that it could be a reference to that incantation.
I loved paragraph 2. I just came in, so I don't know if you read it, Corinne. But I was looking at it. There is no dream of specialness, however hidden or disguised its form, however lovely it may seem to be, however much it delicately offers the hope of peace and the escape from pain, in which you suffer not your condemnation. In dreams, effect and cause are interchanged, for here the maker of the dream believes that what he made is happening to him. He does not realize he picked a thread from here, a scrap from there, wove a picture out of nothing. So the parts do not belong together, and the whole contributes nothing to the parts to give them meaning. Wow.
Yeah.
And we do it over and over and over again.
There is no thing. I love it when he just points it out. It's like there's nothing that you could come up with, that you can come up with, Carla, that will not cause you pain. So stop it. I'm telling you, that's why.
Just stop it.
The same thing over and over again, because I'm here to help you. If you just let me help you. That's what he said.
Yeah.
If you let me help you.
Well, I'll tell you, I did let him help me this week, and he showed me exactly this paragraph. He showed me how I created it. This situation that was driving me crazy, literally walked me through it. And by the time it got done with me, I was so grateful, I can't even tell you, because I don't even remember what the situation was now.
Oh, that's awesome. And Carla, I'm so glad that you read, we did read this paragraph in the very beginning of the call, and I'm so glad that you read it again, because we needed to hear it again, because like Paula just said, we do this over and over and over. And mm-hmm. like Deidre shared at the beginning of the call also, I'm going to definitely look at that skit, that Stop It skit, where is it Bob Newhart? Is
Bob
that
Newhart.
The
yeah.
show?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I'm totally going to check that out.
And the thing is, Jesus is hilarious. You guys, Jesus is so funny. Jesus is a funny dude.
Yes, he is.
There's a
section where he says something about you rely on your eyes and ears, the senses which have no sense. And so for anybody who has the Kindle, if you just like search those words, the senses that have no sense, oh, it was so funny, because as I'm reading and, you know, just trying to absorb it all in, and then, you know, every once in a while it delivers you to a line that's so comical you can't help but bust out laughing.
That's awesome.
You know the part you were reading earlier tonight that was really gross, you know, the imagery of the body, immediately what flashed into my head was the image of, you know, the three monkeys, and one's got their ears covered, one's got their eyes covered, and one is like, you hear no evil, see no evil, and I forget what the other one is.
Speak no evil.
Speak no evil.
Yeah.
She was about to bust the whole rap. It's like, if we just make it a little lighter, it's like you start to realize how funny it is.
Right, right.
It's so funny.
It is funny. It is. And I'm so, so grateful that the humor is, like, beaming through tonight. Oh. Yeah, that's awesome. It's a rejoice you have no – I'm just looking at that section, and my eyes just landed on the sentence. Rejoice you have no eyes with which to see. I picture that monkey covering its eyes. No ears to listen. I picture the monkey covering its ears. No hands to hold, nor feet to guide. That's perfect.
I love it.
Oh, and so let's – before we actually we're a minute past the top of the hour, so we're at time. But let's just rejoice that His quietness can become our certainty, no matter what doubts may show up in our mind. It says every doubt. Actually, I just have to highlight again this last paragraph that we just read. There must be doubt before there can be conflict. So if there's any conflict that seems to show up in our awareness, and of course, either just turn on the news or just go to work or whatever and we see it, it says every doubt. This, again, where Earl Purdy emphasizes when the Course says every or always, it means it. So it says every doubt must be about yourself. Christ has no doubt, and from His certainty, His quiet comes. So we are doubting who it is that we really are. We are doubting the truth and instead identified with this pile of clay that can't see, can't really hear, can't really know anything, but that there is this guide in us that does know, and it says He will exchange His certainty for all your doubts if you agree that He is one with you and that His oneness and that this oneness is forever, endless, timeless, and within your grasp because your hands are His. That is gorgeous.
That's good news.
I love the cheering. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Perfect. Beautiful. Well, that's a wonderful high note to end our call on. Oh, I love you all. Thank you for the joy and for your insights and just for a beautiful call.
Thank
I love you,
you
all, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. Bye-bye.